You know, I've said from day one, I think Geno's going to be hard to beat out. And I've said that from day one. But I also said that, you know, that Mike's going to have an opportunity to compete, and he definitely will.
That was Jets coach Rex Ryan on Wednesday talking about the question that is all the rage in Jets camp. Is there really an open competition at the quarterback position? Rex keeps saying there is, and one of the two finalists for the job, Mike Vick, continues to say there isn't. That was Vick's follow yesterday. He has said now three times that Geno Smith is the starter and that it's not an open competition. And Vick would know because he's been in an open competition. He won one last year, fair and square, against Nick Foles, now the starter in Philly. And, of course, Vick got injured. Foles came in. Foles took over. Vick ultimately lost. He won, but he lost. With Mike Vick and Geno Smith, the thinking is that the Jets want Geno Smith to believe that his job is in jeopardy. They want him to put in the extra time and effort to get himself to a point where he is able to beat out Mike Vick. And they want Geno Smith to have the confidence that goes along with being able to say, I beat out Mike Vick in a fair and square quarterback competition. Now, I don't know why Vick is saying what he's saying. Is he simply being honest? And I remember last year when he was expressing frustration about Chip Kelly, then the first-year coach of the Eagles, not making a decision about who the quarterback will be. He said, hey, I'm just being honest. That's what the coach wants. Vick may just be honest about it, not really having any agenda, but at a deeper level, he's letting the world know that if he does get beat out, when he does get beat out by Geno Smith, it won't be because Geno Smith beat him out. That if it was a fair and open competition, Mike Vick would win. And also, by letting Geno know that it's not a real competition, maybe Geno doesn't work quite as hard. Maybe he doesn't carry the same boost of confidence that comes from winning that competition. And maybe it sets the stage for Geno Smith to struggle like he did at times in 2013, opening the door for Mike Vick to eventually play. So by declaring that there's no competition, in a roundabout way, Vick may win the competition, not by week one, but maybe by the middle of the season. And it's a lot like the mindset that's going on in the cities that have rookie quarterbacks. Bring them in and humble them, and then hope to see them climb the ladder and gain the confidence that goes with climbing the ladder. And Johnny Manziel in Cleveland already has gone from number three to number two. He shouldn't have been number three in the first place behind Tyler Thigpen. I mean, really, if you don't think enough of Johnny Manziel to instantly put him ahead of Tyler Thigpen on the depth chart, what in the world are you doing trading up from 26 to 22 to draft him? Well, that ruse is over. Now it's down to Hoyer and Manziel. And look, the Browns' attitude with Johnny Manziel is work hard, play hard. Or actually work hard, and we don't care what you do. Play hard, don't play at all, just stay out of trouble. Wherever that line is, stay away from it. As long as you work hard, everything will be fine. And Johnny Manziel, addressing the media on Wednesday, showed no remorse and no desire to change his ways. Here he is.
I don't live my life according to you guys or according to what other people think of me. I'm going to live my life to the fullest and continue to be committed to this game and committed to what I need to be doing here and trying to earn my place in this locker room with these coaches, with this organization. And if I want to go out and have some fun and it doesn't hinder what my main goals in life are, then I don't really care what anybody has to say.
And that's the key. What does it take to hinder his main goals in life? Now, if the team is fine with it, it's not going to hinder in any way his standing in the locker room. But And I don't want to repeat myself excessively. I mean, I always repeat myself a little bit, but I don't want to do it excessively, especially when I talk about how I don't want to repeat myself excessively. But the whole champagne spray, I don't want to sound like an old fogey, but that's, nothing good is going to come out of that random champagne spraying on strangers who may not want champagne to be sprayed on them. That's a little too close to the line. That just speaks to a mindset when you're out having a good time that maybe you're having too good of a time, that maybe you are going to get in a position where it hinders what you're trying to do. We talked a lot about that hoax lawsuit last week. The whole champagne spraying could lead to things that are very real, complications that are unintended, an accident, as my son will say from time to time, when something happens that shouldn't happen, it was an accident. Well, a lot of accidents are avoidable, and a lot of potentially ugly situations are avoidable if you don't put yourself in them. And one way to avoid potential ugly situations is don't spray champagne on total strangers who may not want champagne to be sprayed on them. I can't think of a good segue because there's no story that I'm aware of Dez Bryant spraying champagne in his early days with the Dallas Cowboys. He did get into some incidents. He was barred from a mall or something stupid like that. He never got in any real trouble. I think a lot of people just assumed that at some point he would because all the signs were there that this guy was reckless and it's just a matter of time before he finds himself on the wrong side of the law. I mean, he had been sued a couple of times for not allegedly paying for jewelry that he had purchased and whatnot, but never any legal trouble. And he's put that behind him. I mean, we haven't heard anything negative about Dez Bryant in recent years. The only issue is his ability to stay healthy because he does play with a level of physicality we don't see in most receivers, and now he wants to get paid. And he said on Wednesday that he wants to get paid. And I have no problem with the guy wanting to get paid. The reality, though, is he's got 1 year left on his rookie contract, and the Cowboys have to make the philosophical decision. Do they pay him now, or do they let it play out? And do they let him carry the injury risk? Do they let him carry the risk of ineffectiveness or some sort of off-field issue that would hamper his value to them? And there's no comparison between Dez Bryant and Aaron Hernandez, but the point is the Patriots sure wish they had waited another year to pay Aaron Hernandez. Now, that's an extreme example, but the point is when you have the guy under contract, there's no real reason to rush. And the question becomes, what would he take now? I mean, if he wants huge money now, then it's no different than Colin Kaepernick or Alex Smith. Play it out. You're going to give him huge money later, and you're going to save the huge money that you would have paid him this year. Play out the final year of the rookie contract. He's going to make less than $2 million. If he wants some ridiculous amount of money, make him earn it. And then if he earns it, if he puts you in a position where you have to use the franchise tag, then so be it. You will have gotten a great year out of Dez Bryant, and you need a great year out of Dez Bryant if you're the Dallas Cowboys because the Cowboys are without Sean Lee, their best defensive player, on a bad defense. They need the offense to step up. They need guys to be chasing the carrot of a new contract. I think it's in the Cowboys' best interest to not pay Dez Bryant. It's in their best interest to get the absolute most out of him, and you're more likely to get the most out of a guy when he's chasing a new contract, not when he has just arrived at the destination of achieving one. It's going to be quite a conundrum for the Cowboys and Bryant, but it all comes down really to how much he wants. Set a number, Cowboys, and if he wants more than that, wait till next year. And if he has a great year, then you happily pay him, especially if the Cowboys can get back to the postseason or at a minimum get above 500. It's been 3 years of 8-8, and dating back to 1997, the team is right at the equal number of wins and losses. They got to break that cycle, and Dez Bryant needs to have the kind of year that will help them do that. And if he does, that's when you reward him. That's just the way the system is now. You know, I mean, that's what the players bargained for. It's hard to hold out. That's the only way you can exert any leverage, and he's not staying away from off-season workouts, so he's not exerting leverage that way. You'll get what they're willing to give you, because they know they've got you for one more year. Same issue with guys like Patrick Peterson. I know he wants to get paid like Richard Sherman and Joe Hayden, but you know he's under contract for two more years. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to get that kind of a deal when the team can say, we got you for two more years. And what are you going to do? Hold out? You're going to pay us $30,000 a day? You're going to not play football? You're a football player. So the teams generally have the players over a barrel, and I think the Cowboys can squeeze Dez Bryant if they choose to do so. We'll see if they do. And after the break, we'll see what's going on with the Washington Redskins. Will be joined by Rich Tandler of CSNWashington.com to talk about what's happening in that organization as they get ready for the first year of Jay Gruden as head coach. And then we're going to be visited by agent Blake Barrett because there's been a lot of confusion out there and potential conflicts about the status of tight end JerMichael Finley. Barrett represents him. We're going to bring Barrett on to set the record straight on where Finley is right now in his recovery from a fairly serious neck injury last year that resulted in surgery, but not yet medical clearance for JerMichael Finley. We'll do that to wrap the show. Before that, we'll talk to our good friend Rich Tandler. Before that, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. This is PFT Live. It was a disappointing year in Washington, one season after an unlikely division championship. The team did a little bit of a backslide, and that got Mike Shanahan and other members of the coaching staff fired. But now it's a new day, it's a new dawn, and it's time for the team in Washington to try to get back to the top of the NFC East. Joining us now to get us up to date on The Washington Redskins, they opened their OTAs this week. This is day three, and joining us is Rich Tandler of CSNWashington.com. Give us the early returns on the Redskins at this set of OTAs this offseason under new coach Jay Gruden.
Well, as we've been hearing ever since Jay Gruden got hired, it's a new atmosphere. They feel like, Mike Shanahan did a lot of good. And, of course, when somebody leaves, especially after going 3-13, he kind of comes out as the bad guy. Gruden seems to be a lot more involved in practice. Just a few minutes ago, Griffin was lining up. It was a quarterback, RG3. It was a quarterback, and Gruden was lined up at the middle linebacker. And we saw him covering receivers in rookie camp and running some patterns himself to show how it's done. So it's kind of just a different, Mike Shanahan would pretty much stand in the middle of the field and observe and, kind of wouldn't give out much instruction himself, would mention things to his coordinators and kind of delegated it that way. So it's just kind of a different way of doing things around there.
There's not supposed to be any contact in these off-season workouts. Is it open season on the coach if he's out there in the middle?
That's a good question. I got to watch out for that. Telling middle linebacker, I got to watch out for that. And if I was a rookie guard like Spencer Long, I would be very careful going out there.
And actually, they could put Jay Gruden at middle linebacker. First of all, he's that size now. He used to be a little more svelte. And also, they have a need in the absence of London Fletcher. We talked about this issue the other night on NBCSN. Who takes over from a performance and a leadership standpoint now that Fletcher's retired?
Performance standpoint, the position, the guy they would like to win the job and the guy they have lined up there today, with the whatever being first string in the first week of OTAs means, is Keenan Robinson. Of course, that's alongside Terry Riley, who's played there the last couple of years, alongside London Fletcher. Keenan Robinson was a fifth-round draft choice in 2012. Actually was playing quite a bit situationally until he tore a pectoral muscle Thanksgiving Day in Dallas right before the Redskins were just starting their streak to the division title. And then last year he suffered the same injury to a different area, torn pectoral, during training camp. So he was out all of last year. So he was pretty much drafted with the idea that he would take over for London Fletcher when Fletcher retired, and that's where he is now. They have they have a couple other guys. They have Akeem Jordan, who started 8 or 9 games for the Chiefs at inside linebacker last year. A few other guys with a few starts under their belt, but Keenan Robinson looks like he's going to get first crack at the job. And obviously, he's the younger player and their guy and has been in their system when he's been healthy, of course. He's the guy they would like to have win the job.
Multiple team captains last year, but it was a given that London Fletcher was essentially the captain of the captains, the captain for the entire team. Who are they looking to fill that leadership void, both on defense and to the extent that Fletcher was considered the leader of the entire team?
Yeah, I think Ryan Clark, who they just signed and, of course, was a Redskin when played alongside Sean Taylor in the mid 2000s. He seems to be the guy who is stepping up into that role, the vocal guy. But, of course, as far as the team leader, the guy who you'd like to get into that role would be Robert Griffin III. He was elected a team captain midway through his rookie year and was elected one last year. So he's been wearing the C on his chest for a while. And, he is the guy who they would like to have take over the leadership role.
London Fletcher was on our NBCSN program a couple of days earlier this month, and he pointed out that for Griffin to become that team leader, he needs to be willing to say and do things that may be unpopular. Do you believe Griffin is wired to say and do things that may be unpopular with his teammates?
I think he is. I think he's, what London, just a concrete example that we know London would do in practice. He would say, okay, guy, whether the coach said anything or not, and say, okay, guys, we need that play right. We got to run it over again. And, when we see Griffin do that on offense, then we will believe that he's taken that step. But he, you know, he has the leadership quality. He's not afraid to rub people the wrong way if he thinks he needs to. So, but you know, you don't know until you get out there. You know, it's one thing to talk about it in OTAs and, you know, when training camp comes and all that. But it's another thing if you, you know, if you're there and you got a 3 or 4 game losing streak going on and somebody needs to snap you out of it. You know, is it the voice of Robert Griffin III the one that the players can listen to? We won't know until that happens.
Whose voice will emerge when we get 4 or 5 games into the season? DeSean Jackson pulls up his stats to date. He compares him to his average stats last year that resulted in career high receiving yardage. You know, he wants to show the Eagles screwed up by not keeping him, but he's not getting the numbers that he would like. Who's going to step up and try to keep him from getting frustrated and maybe checking out?
You know, I think that's, you'll see Robert in that role to a large extent. You know, we don't know what Gruden, you know, how Gruden is going to be as far as communicating and you know, solving, you know, treating different players in different ways. You know, the old school way would be, okay, well, just go and you get open and we'll worry about getting you the ball. Or, you know, Jay Gruden would maybe try to talk him through it some. And that's one thing about Gruden's leadership style that we have to see if it emerges or not, and something that's definitely going to bear watching. Because, you know, DeSean Jackson is probably not going to catch 82 passes this year, which is what he caught last year in Philadelphia. Of course, usually in Philadelphia, he didn't catch 82 most seasons. Of course, Chip Kelly came in, had an offense that seemed to be designed towards him pretty well, although Chip Kelly ultimately said that he didn't think Jackson was the right guy for it. But, you know, so yeah, I think his stats are going to go down. I think he realizes that. And a lot is going to depend on if the team's winning or not.
How surprised were you that the team has not traded Kirk Cousins?
I was moderately surprised. I figured it would have been done, if not during the draft, maybe shortly after that. And the only thing I can think of was, as it turned out, the scuttlebutt was that Cleveland offered, I believe, a 4th-round pick. Bruce Allen wanted a 2nd-round pick. You know, and of course, the mystery is why they didn't compromise the middle and come up with a 3rd or, you know, a 4th and a 5th or something along those lines. And, you know, I don't think that there's any friction there, really. You know, there was a report that, you know, that Griffin would rather see Cousins get traded. Maybe he would, but I don't think that's anything that Griffin stays up late at night thinking about. You know, he wishes Kirk Cousins wasn't on the team. I think he would, you know, he would rather not have him there. You know, given a choice, but you know, it's not his choice. He's you know, and Cousins would also rather not be there. You know, that's the bigger thing. Cousins is the one that's not getting an opportunity to start as long as he's in Washington. So, you know, I think that while both players would rather maybe things be different, I don't think it's anything that's grating on either of them. I don't think it's any great cause of unhappiness or anything.
As of right now, it appears that every team has its quarterback depth chart in place, but injuries can happen. They could conclude in Houston that none of the guys who are vying to start there are worthy of the job. If the phone rings at some point between now and the end of August, would the Redskins listen?
Yeah, I think they have to. You know, they still, you know, they would still like to make up. And, you know, they didn't have a first-round draft choice for 2 years. There's still a little bit of a talent deficit, and if they can add, especially, you know, I would think they would definitely be looking for a 2nd rounder if a team was desperate, you know, which is what you are. If you're shopping for a quarterback in August, you're desperate. And if that's where a team is, you know, I think they could certainly add a 2nd. You know, and go with Colt McCoy, who, you know, he has started some NFL games. I don't think you'd want him out there for an extended period of time, but that's about the situation that just about every other NFL team is. I'm not sure if you'd want Kirk Cousins out there for an extended period of time. So, you know, I think if somebody called and was on the other end and was offering a 2nd because they were desperate, I don't think Bruce Allen would hesitate to go ahead and pull the trigger.
after the Browns drafted Johnny Manziel and they commenced this process of humbling him, knocking him down, getting him in line, etc., there were a lot of reasons proffered for why the Browns were doing it. My suspicion was and continues to be that offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan, after living through the RG3 phenomenon for a couple of years, wanted to make sure that Johnny Manziel would be coachable, that he would run the offense the way he wants, that it wouldn't be a situation where the quarterback has a pipeline to the owner and the quarterback's in position where he could complain to the media, or there'd be all the stuff that we saw last year. Do you give any credence to the idea that maybe Kyle Shanahan gave some pretty good advice to the folks in Cleveland how you want to deal with a guy who could quickly take over the town?
Yeah, I wouldn't. That would not surprise me. I think I think Kyle and Robert, though, were both good for each other. I mean, Kyle has never looked better than he did in 2012. You know, the difference there was, right, the very first rookie mini camp, Mike Shanahan went before the press and pronounced that Robert Griffin III is the starting quarterback. And, you know, what that does really, it may have been a bit of excessive ego boost to Robert, and I understand that part of it. But it also, you know, gave him all the practice reps for the first team. They were able to put together this offense that ended up leading the league in yards per play, and he had one of the best seasons a rookie quarterback has ever had. So I think it worked out well for both of them in year one. Now, in year two is when, of course, things started to unravel. We don't know how things might have worked out with the knee injury or anything like that. So I think, you know, Kyle is he's pretty politically savvy, I guess. I think he would rather keep Manziel, keep him down, I guess is the best way to put it, as much as he can.
Rex Grossman had been a mainstay in Washington under Kyle Shanahan. They were together in Houston before that. And I believed very strongly that the Browns would sign Rex Grossman to help the other quarterbacks learn the offense. Now I'm thinking that maybe they're waiting until after June 1 when there's no impact on the compensatory draft pick formula before they'd sign him. Have you heard anything to suggest that there's going to be a reunion of Kyle Shanahan and Rex Grossman in Cleveland?
That's something that's been popping up from time to time. I had not thought about the June 1st angle with the compensatory picks. That would be a good, although his contract would likely be pretty minor. I think that's as good a guess as any as to why something hasn't happened yet. But Rex, he served. Obviously he started for a year. He was a backup Donovan McNabb for a year. Started for a year along with John Beck in that famous "Take My Reputation on Them" season of 2011. And then was really a lot of help to Robert Griffin III and to Kirk Cousins while they were learning the offense. And they, you know, they will both still speak very highly of him. So, you know, he's got Kyle has Hoyer there who hasn't really been there all that long. And then, of course, Johnny Manziel. So if you can get a Rex Grossman around who knows the system, knows what's going on, yeah, I would think that he'd want to do it again. It's rumors have popped up from time to time that it was about to get done, and it was almost done, but hasn't happened yet.
Last topic for you, and this opposition to the team's name continues. It doesn't seem to be going away. If I asked you to set the over-under on when the name will change, what would your guess be?
Let's see. I think it's going to be longer than a lot of people think. They need a new stadium probably in 2024. So I would say before they move into a new stadium. But I don't think it'll happen sooner. I just don't see, you know, again, I see Senator, you know, obviously I think the most recent big thing was the 50 senators signing on to a letter, which is, you know, kind of these days almost like signing on to be in favor of clean air and being nice to puppies. I mean, it's not a politically charged issue at all, except, of course, the two Virginia Democratic senators did not sign it, which was sort of interesting. But, it's going to be sponsored. It's going to be Roger Goodell. It's going to be the John Mayers and Jerry Jones of the world that are going to, you know, grab Snyder at at one owner's meeting and say, hey, you got to figure out an end game here. You got to get this done. Those are going to be the guys doing it, not 50 U.S. senators. And I don't see any momentum from them anytime real soon. But I think we've agreed before that at some point it's gonna happen.
And you mentioned the new stadium. I continue to believe that there will be some sort of a trade-off when this does happen. That there will be public money for a new stadium, some other political maneuver that goes in Daniel Snyder's favor, or a Super Bowl awarded to that new stadium. That's the kind of thing that it will take to convince him to give up the name. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think a Super Bowl, you know, new stadium, Super Bowl, new name, you know, that all sounds kind of irresistible to Dan Snyder. So I think that's, and again, the lease on FedEx Field runs until, I believe it's 2024. So, you know, it's not gonna happen quickly. But, you know, pretty soon they got to start putting together a stadium deal, talking about it, finding a location, so on and so forth. And I think that's when it will raise an importance in Daniel Snyder's mind and in the league's mind.
Hard to find a way to save face after the all caps never comment from a year ago, but we'll see how that plays out. Rich, as always, thanks for your time. We'll be keeping track of the team's developments at csnwashington.com. We look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thanks, Mike. Anytime.
All right, there he is, Rich Tandler, csnwashington.com. When we return, we're going to talk about one of the many free agents still out there. And we mentioned that June 1 deadline. There could be some guys who get signed after June 1, so you avoid the compensatory draft pick formula. That's how the Ravens got Daryl Smith last year, with no impact on their compensatory draft pick formula. We're talking about tight end Jermichael Finley. We'll talk to his agent, Blake Barrett, after the break. This is PFT Live.
It was a hard injury and a hard injury to deal with, but at the same time, I mean, what don't kill you make you stronger. So, guarantee you, I'm stronger. I'll be ready to go in 2014. I guarantee you.
That's free agent tight end Jermichael Finley talking to PFT Live at the Super Bowl in Midtown Manhattan. And not far away from Jermichael Finley, as he was saying those words, was the man who represents him, and that's agent Blake Barrett. Blake Barrett joins us now. Blake, welcome to the program. Can you give us the latest on Jermichael Finley? Because there's been some conflicting information out there. Where does he stand right now from a medical standpoint?
Yeah, no, I can fill you in, and thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate it. So, you know, he's just at the 6-month window right now. He had he had two vertebrae fused. He had a spinal fusion, and Dr. Maroon, the Steelers neurosurgeon, performed the surgery and actually just gave him a full clearance the other day. The interesting thing is with Jermichael's injury is it's because it's the spine and the neck. Everyone's going to be overly cautious before putting him in a situation of going back on the field. And opinions can be subjective. Dr. Maroon's opinion may not be the opinion of 31 other team doctors. So right now, based on the fact that this just happened, now a lot of the teams that are interested in Jermichael are getting copies of the films. He's going to start taking visits actually tomorrow, and the process will move along. He may not be 100% there yet, but he's very close. He's working out. He's in unbelievable shape. He can do everything right now. The question is just whether everyone would sign off on him taking a hit right now, which obviously he wouldn't need to do anyway.
Because it's one thing for him to get clearance from his own doctor. It's another thing for the doctors of a team that he's going to sign with to give him that clearance. But just so we're clear on the clearance, he has received from his own personal doctor who performed the surgery the green light to go ahead and play football. Now it's up to whether there's a team that's comfortable with his current health and with his current status.
Correct. That is correct.
When did that happen specifically?
I don't think any doctor would question whether he could go participate in OTAs or mini camp or anything like that. The final question is whether those other doctors, whether they're NFL team doctors or independent doctors, would also green light him to take a hit. And because he's been getting scans every 6 or 8 weeks, the fusion is coming together more and more every 6 or 8 weeks. So the, you know, some doctor's train of thought is, you know, why even ask the question today if we know in 6 weeks or 8 weeks it may be fully fused, and then the question is removed completely.
There's been some confusion about the actual fusion itself. Which vertebrae were fused together by Dr. Maroon?
C3, C4.
And that's one of the more common ones, but we've seen other guys who get that injury and they can't come back. Now, who is considering bringing him in? I know he's visited with Seattle. Who's he going to be seeing tomorrow?
Unfortunately, I can't speak to that. They've asked specifically that it stays between us. So if you find out from another source tomorrow, then more power to you. But I can't mention that today, unfortunately.
There was a report yesterday out of Milwaukee that he was being checked out by the Packers, but then there was some conflicting information. Was he checked yesterday by any doctors in Green Bay?
Yeah, he did see the team doctor yesterday, but I think, you know, how the media kind of took it to another level. It was more of a formality. He drove with his family back to Green Bay, and he hadn't seen Dr. McKenzie in a while, and so it was more of a, let's check in, let's see where you're at neurologically. They obviously also got copies of the films, so it wasn't any sort of big conspiracy to go in there and sign a contract or anything. It was more of a formality to check in, make sure he was okay neurologically, and just because he hadn't seen those doctors in a while.
What will his expectations be financially? And I don't want you to negotiate the contract publicly, but given the injury and given his status, it doesn't seem like he has a whole lot of leverage when it's time to work out a deal.
You know, I would agree with you. I think it's a situation where he's coming off of an injury. The nature of the injury is just scarier because it's more of an unknown for everybody, for GMs, for doctors, for fans, for agents, for media. It's just an unknown, and it's scary to see someone get knocked out of the field, knocked unconscious like that. So, you know, if he decides to come back and play, I think someone probably will get a bargain just based on what he would be worth if he was healthy. And that's why it's not going to be a no-brainer, easy, simple decision that Jermichael's just going to come back and play football. He's protected financially with a big disability insurance policy. It's not a no-brainer. It's going to be, he wants to come back and play. He's a competitor. This is what he knows, is what he loves, it's what he puts all his time and money and energy into. But regardless, it's going to be a sound decision that we're all going to have some input in, because no one's going to risk putting Jermichael on the field unless we're confident that he's at no greater risk than any other football player. He has a life to live. He's got children. He's got a family. Regardless of whether he plays again or not, he'll be fine financially, but there is a financial element to it that is going to impact everyone's advice.
And help me understand this, because you said he wants to play, but then you said if he decides to come back. And when I sat with him back in January, he seemed unequivocal. He seemed resolute. He would play. He guaranteed he'll play in 2014. Has that changed since late January?
No, I think if you asked him right now, he definitely, I'm coming back to play. I think that is the mindset. But is a team offering a minimum salary? Is a team offering $8 million? Is a team offering a multi-year deal? Is a team offering a one-year deal? And we got to, as advisors to Jermichael, we have to go in and say, hey, this is your worst-case scenario. If you go in and you never play it down again, this is what your life is going to look like. And if you make $3 million this year, this is what your life looks like. And here are the risks, and here are the ramifications, and here are the consequences. Here are the positives. Here are the negatives. And ultimately, we lay it out with he and his family, and we all put our input in. At the end of the day, it'll be Jermichael's decision, but it's not going to be an emotional, hey, I'm coming back to football and I'm playing tomorrow type of decision. It's got to be very well articulated and planned and thought out, because his life is on the line. I don't play Russian roulette with guys' careers and livelihoods. It's just too important.
And I don't want to turn this into an insurance law seminar, but my experience practicing law was that insurance companies like taking money in via premiums. They don't like paying money out via benefits. And if you've got a policy that would compensate him and he's cleared to play and he chooses not to, how hard of a time will it be at that point to actually collect?
I think in his case, it will be fairly easy just because there's going to be a lot of experts and doctors that would not clear him today. Now, 3 weeks from now or 6 weeks from now or 9 weeks from now, or if he plays in X number of games, it's a completely different story. But if he shuts it down permanently right now, he's got a very sound argument to collect on the disability claim.
Well, I know you got to run. It's a complicated situation. Good news that he's been cleared, and we hope all the best for JerMichael going forward. We hope he makes the right decision for him and his family, and we appreciate your time. We'll be checking in with you down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Blake Barrett. Breaking some news here on PFT Live. JerMichael Finley has received clearance from Dr. Joseph Maroon, who performed the C3-C4 spinal fusion. There had been some confusion about where that vertebrae fusion occurred. C3-C4 is where a lot of the injuries happen when a guy instinctively and reflexively dips his head. That was the location of the Kevin Everett back in 2007, C3-C4 fracture. So that's one of the problems and one of the issues that the NFL has been trying to get out of football by changes to the kickoff return, moving the kickoff point up so you have fewer of those collisions where guys come together and dip their helmets. But for offense, defense, it's unavoidable, and it happened to JerMichael Finley, and here's hoping that he'll be able to play, and here's hoping that he makes the right decision for him. Whatever it is, it's not going to be easy. If that insurance money is there, and you got to ask, do I door number one, you don't know door number two. Door number one is the insurance money. Door number two, maybe I never make $100,000 playing football, but I've forfeited my ability to collect on the policy. Not going to be an easy situation. We'll see how it all plays out. All the best to JerMichael Finley as he prepares to make that decision. That's it for today's edition of PFT Live. My days are all screwed up because, you know, the whole Monday, Tuesday holiday thing. I keep thinking tomorrow's Thursday. It's not. Tomorrow's Friday. So for the final PFT Live of the week, we hope you'll join us. We'll probably do a PFT Planet segment, so it'll give you something to do other than work on a Friday. And we'll give you something to do other than work at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Tonight, you can tune in to NBCSN. We're going to take a closer look at the off seasons of, and I'm not going to remember all of them, the Eagles, the Ravens, and one other team, the Colts. Eagles, Ravens, and Colts tonight on PFT on NBCSN. Check us out around the clock right here at ProFootballTalk.com. Have a great day.